But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world, the things which are despised, God hath chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And I want to stop there for just a moment. He says that God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. And we know here that the Apostle Paul had written this letter to the church there at Corinth, and he gets into some aspect of correction down at the point, but we know that there was some disputing that was going on in different things, but he began to talk to them there that those that were at Corinth had a mind about them that that they should know a different, if you will, philosophy of learning. And Paul said that to the Jews that the cross was yet a stumbling block to them. And my friend, I want you to know this morning that the world doesn't understand our way. The world doesn't understand. They can't comprehend. It's still foolishness to them this morning. That the cross, that Jesus this morning, that it's still foolishness to them. They don't understand and they can't comprehend this morning that a man was sent by God, which was his blessed son, that he might enter into this world, that he was born, if you will, by a virgin mother, and that he was born there at Bethlehem, and he come into this world, that they can't comprehend that. And yet even beyond that, that he grew into a man, and that he started his ministry, and that he went about preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And yet even at that this morning, they still can't comprehend that he went to the cross, that he gave his life for us, that we through him might have life. They can't understand that. And yet even beyond that, they can't comprehend that as they placed him in the grave, some 3 days later, that he rose out. They can't understand that. They still don't get that this morning. It's foolishness to them. The Bible says that the fool says in his heart, there is no God. This morning, I want you to understand that it's our responsibility. No doubt, no matter how foolish that it may sound to those. Listen, when I was lost and separated from God, and I was there at Rocky Mound, and I think I maybe even told y'all here before, but if I haven't, that as I was there at Rocky Mound, my grandparents, they loved us enough that they would take us to church. And as they took us to church, I never realized that night when I was just a 9 or 10 year old little boy. There, that preaching, sitting in the congregation of that church, I never realized that that night that I would become lost. I had went that night, if you will, to be with my friends. We played Hot Wheels with one another after church, and we'd go out and play in the parking lot, and I didn't understand and comprehend none of it. But my friend, that night, there was a change that took place. There was something different that night. And as that preacher began to preach to me the gospel, I can't tell you how many was there that night. I feel like maybe that church was full of people. But I want you to know that preacher was preaching to me that night. And as he preached to me the gospel, there was a change that took place. There was something different in here. I didn't feel all right anymore. I wasn't worried about playing Hot Wheel cars or going outside and seeing my friends. I wasn't worried about any of that. I knew that if I died, that I would go to hell. There was a separation that took place there. To the world, it seems foolish. They don't understand it. They can't comprehend it. Our subject matter shall not change, and I don't believe it ever has. As old-time Baptists, it's our responsibility to promote Jesus Christ, for He is our creed. He is our motto. He's our slogan. He's what we go by. He's who we live for. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I feel like so many times our people, the Bible says, let the redeemed say so. Let the redeemed say so. Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. David, there in the 116th Psalm, says, I know that I shall walk in the land of the living. They knew what God had given them. They were secure in what God had promised them. This morning, I'm not talking about something that merely we imagine up in our minds, but I'm talking about something that God plants down in here. I'm talking about something this morning that you know that's real and something you know that you can feel. Listen, there's a group of people out there in the world today that say, oh, Baptists just focus on mere emotion. I'm telling you something this morning, Fairview. If what God has put in your heart doesn't stir up some kind of emotion, honey, maybe you ain't got the same thing I've got. You better believe it stirs up an emotion. It ought to make us happy. It ought to make us glad. It ought to make us rejoice. It ought to make us want to come in and say, let the redeemed of the world of the I am say so. To the world it seems foolishness. They don't understand it. They can't comprehend it. I remember for a long time, my mother was raised up differently than we was. She said, for years we talked to her. Finally, I just got to the point, I said, Lord, you're going to have to handle this. I can't do it. I laid it at His feet. She began to travel with us and go around to different churches. And one day there is not long after I was elected pastor at Mount Zion, I noticed me and Jessica said, there's a change in her. There's something different about Mama. We went over to Mama's house and she'd ask us to bless the meal. That just wasn't something that happened in Mama's house. I said, there's a change or something different there. And Mama, I began to talk to her and she said, you know, she said, the Lord saved me. She said, all of those years, she said, I thought y'all was crazy. She said, but I know exactly what you're talking about now. She's what you'd call, what I like to say, she got a dose of it. Honey, when God gives you a dose of what I'm talking about, we know about it, don't we? To the world, they don't understand it. Listen. I want to go on and read this. He said that no flesh should glory in His presence, but of Him ye are in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. No matter what God does in this place, no matter what the future holds, no matter what God is going to do in this place, God gets all the honor and glory for it. Every bit of it. If God comes into this place, and I pray that He does, and He saves every soul here, God gets all the honor and glory from it. Because I want you to know Brother Moran has worked and he's labored, and Brother Miller and Brother C.B. Massey and all of these have worked and labored, and they have planted seeds long before I ever come along. That God gets all the honor and glory. Now listen. This is what God has laid up on her heart. And I know this is lengthy this morning. I said I didn't know if I was preaching or not, but I need to get this off me. Many of you may be wondering what you're getting. And I want to try my very best to describe it to you. I realized this morning that I'm no good. There ain't nothing good about me except for what God has done for me. He had mercy on me. He looked down and had mercy on me. And somehow I met His requirements, which was with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. For by grace are you saved. That word grace means unmerited. I want you to understand something undeserving. I didn't deserve what He gave to me as a 9-year-old little boy. I still don't deserve it. But I want you to know this morning that the only thing good about me is what He's done for me. He saved me. He picked me up. He put me on a new path. And there's been times in my life that He has helped me beyond measure. There's been times in my life that I felt like I have been dragging along, or maybe I have dropped a load. But I'm thankful to know this morning that Jesus... And I'm paraphrasing this. He said, listen, when the load gets too heavy, He said, I'll come right in there with you and take up the yoke and we'll go on together. Boy, He's helped me more times in my life than what I can tell you. What I can tell you. I want to say this. And this is what the Lord is. I'm not comparing myself to the Apostle Paul. I am far from the Apostle Paul this morning. But this is what the Lord's laid on my heart. Second chapter of 1 Corinthians. Paul said, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I am determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was without enticing words of men's wisdom, but in the demonstration of spirit and power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And I want to stop there for just a moment. He said, for I am determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. This morning, I want you to know something. For me to try to come in here and fill Brother Moran's shoes or different ones that have preached here, I'm unable to do that. I can't do that. All I can be, church, is me. And that's all I know to try to be. Preach it the way God give it to me. He said, for I am determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Church, if I know anything this morning, if I can declare anything to you this morning, is that I know in my heart that my Redeemer liveth. I know that as David said, one day I'll walk in the land of the living. My promise is with God. Because He has promised me that. That one day after a while, when I close my eyes in death, that this old body will go to the ground, but this soul will take a flight because of what He's promised me. I'm secure in that. There's no fear there for me. I'm confident in what God has sealed in here, you see. I do not weary in that. I'm not saying that I'm any better than you. There have been some down through the years that have struggled to know whether or not they've been saved or not. And honey, I'll promise you something. If you seek God with an earnest answer and really want to know, He'll let you know about that. But what I will say to you this morning is I know. There used to be a lady there at a church I grew up with. Miss Polly Browner was her name, or is her name. You'd ask her, you'd say, "Miss Polly, how you know you're saved?" She said, "I know that I know that I know." And my friend, this morning, that's exactly how I feel about it. I know that I know that I know. Don't nobody have to tell me about it. Didn't know how anybody have to persuade me about it. I know because God has revealed it to me. Paul said that it's a peace that surpasses all understanding. Listen, a peace. I want to say this. He said, "I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling." Now, there's a reasoning behind that, and for time's sake, I don't want to get too much into that, but you can read about that as he went on his mission trip or was in his mission trip there in Acts. But what I will say is this. The first time we come here to Fairview, we got up there and I was so nervous I couldn't even remember what the title of my subject was. I fumbled around with it for 2 or 3 minutes. And then I just about decided I was going to give up on it. And then the Lord brought it to my remembrance. When I come here the first time, I thought, "Lord, there's so many more that know so much more than I do." I was nervous. I was trembling. I was in fear. I want you to know something this morning. Bless her heart, bless your heart this morning. I've not come to try to impress nobody, but try to uplift the name of the blessed Savior Jesus Christ this morning. I'm still with you this morning in trembling and fear. I want you to know this morning that each and every time we try to stand and present God's Word, I get nervous about it because of how important it really is. It's important. It's serious business. But what I get most nervous about is the young people that's listening. See, we've got a grave responsibility this morning, church. I want you to know, I've done some praying and some soul searching. I've got a little boy that's getting older. It's important that I be and do just exactly what God would have me to be doing. Just exactly when He needs me to be doing it. I want to be found doing what He needs me to be doing. Because church, that's how important that it is. Not only for Him, but for everybody that's lost and separated. We need to be just exactly where God would have us to be. This morning he says, "And my speech and preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration and spirit and power." Folks, I want you to know each and every time that I try to stand, I'll try to give you my heart. I can't describe to you this morning just exactly what you get. I don't know. But church, what I will say is this. I'm expecting big things here at Fairview Memorial. But I want you to know something. That if anything is going to be done, it's not because I'm going to do it. It's because God is going to do it. And when God gives the increase, we need to glory in the Lord that He's given the increase. I want to say this. And this is where the rubber meets the road. John said that I must decrease and he must increase. Did you hear what I said? That I must decrease and he must increase. We want to see the world change. I must decrease and he must increase. In every aspect of it. Not just in the church house, but when we enter into our homes, that I must decrease and he must increase. Every aspect of it. Because it's only through and by Jesus that anything's going to be done. He says that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Isn't it amazing what God is able to reveal to us? Church, I want you to know that my teaching and preaching capabilities will not be what you are accustomed to. And my sincere apologies for that. But I want you to know I will try my very absolute best to give you everything that I've got. I love the Lord and I love the Lord's people. And I'm not looking for pity. I'm not looking for a pat on the back. But I needed you to know what you was getting. Most of you have only heard me preach 2 times. But I will give you everything I've got. Everything I've got. And we have to be willing to seek Jesus in every aspect. If we want Him to meet here with us, if we want Him to save our lost, then we've got to decrease and He's got to increase. We need the Spirit of God. Listen, the Apostle Paul was a very, very wise man. He was a Pharisee, no doubt a scholar of the law. He knew everything about the law. But he didn't know anything about Jesus. He didn't know anything about the Spirit until he was brought down on the road to Damascus and God revealed himself to him. Jesus did there. And then he began to preach Jesus Christ everywhere he went. That was his creed. That was his motto. That was his slogan. This morning, what is our creed? Jesus. What is our motto? Jesus Christ. Who is it that we live by? Jesus Christ. Church, I love you this morning. You say, preacher, you don't even know us. I love you. I do. I look forward to worshiping with you. I look forward to getting to know you. Pray for us. You want us to do better? Pray for us. I want to see the young people flourish in this church. I want to see the older people flourish in this church. I want to see those that's my age, I want to see us flourish in this church. But the only way we're going to do that is through and by Him. Listen. I don't know all the answers. I don't know everything this morning. I don't. But Jesus said, I am the way. I don't know which way to go. But I'm a leaning and trusting in the one that does. He knows the way. I don't. There ain't a narrow one of us here that knows what it's like to experience death. Do we know the way? No, we don't. Who's the one you trusting in? Jesus. He knows the way. Lean and trust in Him this morning. Pray for me. It's a little old simple procedure. Just to be honest with you, I'll close this morning. I'm going to be done. I'm done. I want to encourage you this morning, if you don't know the Lord, I want to encourage you to seek Him. Seek Him with everything that makes you up. He's the absolute best thing that'll ever happen to you in your life. He's the best friend I've ever had. And I mean that. Me and my wife are very close, and we've had a lot of close times here in the recent couple of months just because of circumstances. But I love the Lord this morning. He's always been with me, always. I'm closer to Him than I am my wife. Listen, we're having a little procedure done Friday morning. I'm going to go in and remove all my hardware out of my wrist. And hopefully in a matter of 20 or 30 days of physical therapy, I'll be back to my old self. And I don't remember his name, but the brother said, he said, being a Baptist and not being able to shake hands is about like working at KFC and not being able to eat chicken, bless his heart. I agree with him. I agree with him. 100%. I want to shake your hand. It ain't that I don't. Trust me. I want to hug you. I want to do all that stuff. But I've got to get through this surgery so I can do those things. So don't take it that I ain't trying to love all over you. I've got to get this done. So pray for us. It's going to be simple. It ain't no big deal. We're going to go down at Vanderbilt Friday morning and they're going to take all this stuff out, and I'm looking forward to it. Is there a thought or a word on anybody's heart this morning? I know that was a little different, and I told you I didn't know if we'd preach or if we, but I felt like I need to share that with you. God put that on my heart, and I need to share that. Anything on your heart need to be said or done this morning? Bless. Maya. Hey, Maya. Bless, sister. Bless. Appreciate this. Amen. Bless you. Appreciate this. Amen. Amen. Bless you, sister. Bless you. Something else. Anything. All hearts and minds clear. I want to say this. Brother Moran said, I want to encourage each and every person to gather back this way. And I do understand that maybe some cold weather's moving in tonight as well, but hopefully that won't be a hindrance. Remember the Wednesday night services. Looking forward to what God has in store for that with the young people. I want to encourage our young people to continue to do that. And I want to say, even though we were here one Wednesday night, how much I appreciate those that prepare the food and help those young people. I think that's a great thing. I think that's a great work. And we appreciate that and your willingness to do that. I encourage you to come and be a part of it and study and learn God's Word. Anything else on your heart? Appreciate the visitors once again. Appreciate the prayers. Continue to pray for Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church as we go forward and look at what God has in store for us. All hearts and minds clear. Standing together and we'll be dismissed. I believe Brother Moran said service tonight was at 6 o'clock. So, 6 o'clock. Oh, man. Brother, would you dismiss us?